Hello and welcome to Tech Weekly from The Guardian, your guide to what's hot, what's not, and what's utter rot in the world of high tech. My name's Bobby Johnson, and this is the last in our series of special live podcasts from the floor of the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, one of the world's biggest technology showcases. Now, despite lower numbers of attendees this year, it's still pretty crazy out there, and there are thousands of exhibitors trying to prove they've got the strength and the will to wrestle down the competition. Now, flexing their muscles with me in the pod today, I'm joined by Screaming Susie Weezer of Shiny Shiny and Dangerous Dan Sung from Tech Digest. And together you are Shiny Media.
We are.
Welcome to you both. I gave you both wrestler names, but how about you come up with one for yourself? What would you be called?
I'd go for Scarlet Seraph, I think, and I'd wear red and probably have a cape.
How about you, Dan?
I would be the Incredible Slouch. I have fantastically bad posture, particularly with EPCs as well hunching me over, and I think I'd sort of roll slowly under the ropes. Try and trip people up or something like that.
What a tag team.
Yeah, it sounds like a dangerous combination. Well, we'll come back to that. I'm not sure if we've opened a can of worms there. But in the last few shows, we've been concentrating on the big keynote speeches from CES and Macworld. So to break things up today, we're going to get down and dirty with the gadgets themselves, talking about everything from recycled mobile phones to hopefully some sexy laptops. So if that's not enough, we also talked to John Rubinstein from Palm about whether the company's new gadget, the Pre, will help it survive. So, oil yourselves up for another Tech Weekly. Let's get ready to rumble. Now, after what seems like an eternity, the show floors at CES are finally open, and the crowds are everywhere. So I took a walk around to see what I could find. And first of all, we discovered Sony's new ultra-small Vaio laptop. You might remember we mentioned it yesterday. Got our hands on it, tried it to see what it was like.
This is not a netbook, this is a fully functional lifestyle PC. It's designed for the status-seeking customer. More as a secondary device, but I've been using this as my primary device this week, and I have not lost really any functionality. Anything that's going to make me complain about it or feel that I'm using something that can't do the job.
Can you just talk through the stats of it? You know, what's the processor?
This is going to incorporate the latest Intel 1.33 gigahertz processor. Fanless design, like I said before, extends the battery life and also allows us to keep it 3/4 of an inch thin. 2 gigs of RAM. Another feature in this is what's called the instant on feature. I have it already kind of set up down here, but you can actually boot this up when the computer is off, and within 20 seconds, you're going to get the cross-media bar that we've incorporated into the PlayStation 3, PSP, and certain Bravia TVs, but allows you access to that content without having to boot up the operating system. And that is a Linux shell that uses that right there.
The new Vaio, very small. You know, you could fit it in your pocket if you wanted.
There was lots of that, wasn't there? Pulling the Vaios out of pockets in various keynote speeches and stuff.
But what do you think? I mean, it's not a netbook, it's a UMPC, basically, isn't it? What is it?
I thought it was really bizarre how they were positioning it, because they really were taking a big stab, a big dig at netbooks. They really were trying to imply that they weren't really worth the plastic they were made of. But they're charging £800 for this netbook, and they seem to be differentiating it by saying that it had 3G connectivity. But there are loads of netbooks in the UK that have 3G connectivity. That's not a big deal. And you can get those for something like £25 a month on a Vodafone contract. So whether you would pay the extra £500 to get a nice polished red Vaio kind of remains to be seen. I don't think I would.
What about you, Dan? Are you sceptical? Would you buy one?
No, probably not, actually. I mean, firstly, the price is just insane. When I'd rather spend my cash on something. I mean, I think what they've done is that they're sort of, you know, jumping on the back of the netbook thing without doing that. And I'm getting the feeling that people are starting to shy away from the netbook craze anyway. And I think they've all done it a bit late now, Sony. So I really don't see why anyone's going to do it. I think people would prefer to get something lighter and thinner, but a decent size that you can carry around and not cripple yourself trying to write with.
I'm not sold. I mean, it looks very nice, but you'd have to use one for a bit to work out. I mean, I've got fat fingers. I can't type.
Trying
on
to write in press conferences on the netbook is a nightmare.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got skinny fingers. I'm all right, but still, you know, hit the wrong keys the whole time, start writing on the wrong lines. It's a nightmare.
So let's move on from that. Some of the other stuff I went to look at, there's lots of people talking about how green they are and doing green stuff. I saw some wooden radios, some batteries and, you know, stuff like that that people said were amazing. They were just batteries. But but we also heard from Motorola, who have come up with a new phone that's made from recycled plastic bottles. Let's have a listen and see what they said.
So taking water bottles that have been destined to a landfill, we've grind them up and made it into the device. All the plastic is made out of that. There's no spray paint on this. That material is about 20% more efficient than your normal plastics, which means less carbon dioxide being emitted through using that plastic versus others. Just as every other lithium-ion battery that Motorola produces, we do have ways to recycle that easily and appropriately. Obviously, you didn't want to throw a battery. We have optimized the chipset and the software for this device to maximize the amount of talk time. We're not going to sell this device for an absurd amount of money just to go green. It's going to be priced just as this phone would have normally been had it not had these green technologies.
Okay, so, you know, it's a phone. It's made from recycled plastic. Lovely. My problem here, and tell me if you don't agree, but is that it's still a Motorola phone.
Poor old Motorola. They cannot catch a break, can they?
The thing is, like, what you'd have to do if someone saw you with it, they'd start laughing at your phone. You'd have to desperately try and get in and go, no, it's made of recycled things. You know, no one's going to know that by the outsides and the functioning.
Do you think there's a lot of greenwash going on here this week?
This year, I mean, we saw it at IFA a few months ago. It's a massive thing, isn't it? And I think every single press conference I've sat in, there's been a 20-minute monologue about how this particular company are improving their products, you know, how they're recycling, how you can now, it's kind of a one in, one out policy, isn't it? That if you buy one of their products, they have to recycle another one of their products. It's there's a lot of talk about it.
I don't know why they're telling us about it as well, because I expect them to be doing it. I expect them to be making efforts to be as green as they can. So it shouldn't wow me. They shouldn't make a big deal out of it. They should just work.
Well, I think we'll have to apply the skeptical, the skeptometer. Let's apply the skeptometer.
There's some fun green stuff, though. There's a Sony TV that's got a sensor, a presence sensor. So if no one moves in the room, it automatically switches itself off.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
Isn't that brilliant?
No, that's terrible. I sit there
hilarious.
For days on
well,
end.
Well, that's right, yeah. How still do you have to be in order to get the TV to turn itself off? It's amazing.
Are there any other things, green or otherwise, that you've seen? What's really floated your boat so far?
I've been all over this Yahoo widget stuff. There's been a lot of talk about how these widgets are all going to be integrated into Blu-ray players and TVs and the like, and you'll be able to get on MySpace, you'll be able to get on Twitter, Flickr, things like that, without leaving your sofa, without having to boot up
as
a computer.
As long as you move, obviously.
Yeah,
have to keep moving.
You've got one leg jigging, you've got the other one on Twitter. It's, it's fun stuff.
I find that slightly terrifying because it's hard enough to get off the sofa anyway. If I don't even have to go over to the computer, then, you know, I'm never going to move.
That's it.
What about you, Dan? Have you what's been your favourite thing so far?
Well, I've actually been enjoying walking around the smaller halls. Actually, I saw something from Mattel called the MindFlex, which was brilliant. It's basic telekinesis, and it's obviously the door to more complicated telekinesis. What it is, it's you can control a small floating, well, a small ball with your mind. They put a sensor on your head that detects theta waves from your mind, which apparently are produced when you concentrate. So if you focus on this ball, it starts to levitate. And the more you focus, the higher it goes. And if you stop concentrating, it goes lower, which is actually quite incredible. But I got the feeling that maybe there was something else going on there.
A Wizard of Oz moment. There's a man behind the curtain.
Do you know what I mean? They were doing all the filming. They wouldn't let you film it yourself. And I just thought, are they just collecting all these videos just to put online and go, look at the stupid tech journalists at CES? So that's my disclaimer.
Well, I think.
Do you think it's like a Gizmodo stunt?
It could be, couldn't it? Well, I think they wouldn't be Mattel then. They'd be someone else, wouldn't they?
True.
Let's hope that Mattel are applying their brand in a useful way there. Well, if you want to find out any more about the wonderful world of CES, you can log on to our website for a veritable pile driver. I'm going back to the wrestling again. I don't know why I'm doing this. Pile driver of news at guardian.co.uk/technology. One of the big stories this week so far has been Palm, who came out and unveiled their new device, the Pre, and a new operating system, which they say will take them forward and, you know, really move them on into the future and away from those horrible days where they've been overtaken by Research in Motion and
everyone.
Apple and everyone else. And luckily enough, I got the chance to speak to the Palm chairman, John Rubinstein, to ask him about Pre and about what it meant for the company. So I started off by asking him, is this the thing that's going to solve all of Palm's problems?
No, we're just getting started. Right? We've been fighting the battle with basically both hands tied behind our back for the last year and a half. Now we're getting on the playing field. I think we're going to be extremely competitive, but it's the beginning.
So you said you had both hands tied behind your back. Which hands would they be?
The Centro is a great product, but it doesn't have the horsepower to take you to the future. And we wanted to build something that would last us for the next 10 or 15 years.
How difficult was it to breed that innovation in rather than relying on the technologies that you had been reliant on before?
So I joined the company about 18 months ago. And we did exactly that. We looked at the products that were in the development pipeline, and we canceled most of them. We focused on Centro and Trio Pro going forward and on our next generation. The WebOS had been under development for a while already, and we put a renewed focus on that, and we started working on a whole new hardware product roadmap to go along with that. Just as important, we focused on rebuilding the team. The executive staff, is the majority of them have now joined in the last year. And each of them has then gone and rebuilt their team. They've taken the best people who were at Palm and they've brought in the best people from all around the industry.
When you look at the market as it's evolved, we've seen touch becoming central. We've seen people realizing that, enterprise email is very useful in a way that maybe they hadn't before. Do you think anyone can muscle in on the market as lots of people are trying to? By doing those things better, or do you think you have to come up with new things to convince people?
I don't worry about competitors. I worry about customers. I worry about making really, really great consumer products. Something like a Touchstone, it's self-evident that consumers are going to love it.
Is it then a problem about telling people the things? Is it a problem in communicating as much as, or in addition to all those other things?
Well, you need
things
to do that. You need to build great products. But, the philosophy of build it and they will come doesn't really work, right? So you have to build great products. You have to market them. And then, you need to make them. I mean, if you only make one or two, it doesn't help. So then you have to be able to manufacture in high volume. And you got to be able to distribute that around the world. Palm has those processes, we have the technology, right? To make great products and to get those distributed around the world.
On which subject? When might we see this in Europe? When are my guys in Britain going to be able to get their hands on a Pre?
This is a CDMA device, so it's EVDO Rev-A. So it's a 3G CDMA device. We have a UMTS 3G version, in the pipeline as well. We're not saying anything about it yet. Palm is a global company, and the world is very important to us. I particularly like London. It's a great place. I used to live off the Wandsworth roundabout in Battersea. Europe is an important place but we have nothing to announce today.
Do you think this device and the system that you've announced today are the things that are really going to get Palm back on track?
Is this particular product going to be the one that makes Palm great again? We don't look at it that way, right? We've built our next generation platform, which we're going to evolve for the next 10 years. Right? Pre is the first product that platform is shipping on, right? But there's other products in the pipeline, and this one's CDMA, and we do want to go around the rest of the world, so there'll be a 3G version that will work in Europe and other places. And that's all part of the pipeline of products. So, the key is not to build just one great product. The key is to build a team that can make great products time and time again, right? And then put a roadmap in place that brings out a steady stream of great products.
Before this morning, people were saying, you guys have really got to wow us. And do you think you've succeeded? And do you think it's fair to say that you've knocked the criticism on the head, at least for the time being, for people who say maybe you've just got one last chance to get back there?
That's not for me to judge. That's for you to judge. Right, and I think that the early indicators are, that people are very excited about the work we're doing, which I think is super. I look at product development as like a pinball game. Right, if you do really, really well, you get a free ball. And if you do really, really well, you get a free game. So, you know, I'm hoping we're going to get a free game.
John Rubinstein of Palm there, talking about the pre and Palm's new plans for the future. I'm just wondering here, Palm, you know, Palm has been, I don't know, it's had a terrible time the past few years, and it seems like nothing it can do works. Do you think it's back on track? Do you think John's right when he says that, you know, they've got a future?
They spent so many years living off their past and their heritage. And actually, people that use Palms or did use Palms are always quite evangelical about it, and they do really like the operating system. But I just don't think they managed to convert any new users. I don't think they're gaining a new market share at all. You know, everyone, you know, if you are going to go for a smartphone, there are other more interesting options out there. And it's kind of last chance saloon, isn't it, for Palm at this point?
Mm. I mean, they lost me years ago, even when they were good. I just never been interested in Palm. It's just not my thing, a personal organisation, I suppose. But, since phone's been much better at it, I think they're just, you know, I don't know if their old fans are going to carry them.
Well, it strikes me that their problem a lot of the time has been that, you know, they do kind of interesting things. You know, they did touchscreens ages ago, and they have kind of fancy little things, but they can never turn it into a kind of consumer product. It never feels right when you use it. Now, it's really hard to understand how they're gonna inject that kind of consumer quality in that people want. And John Rubinstein used to be at Apple. He was the iPod man before he joined Palm. And so I suppose they're hoping that some of that rubs off on them. But one of the things that they were showing off was that they're doing wireless charging for it. So it just sits on a little, instead of plugging it in, you just sit on a little charging pad. Strikes me that that might seem a bit gimmicky if everything else doesn't work. Will everything be charging
soon? We saw the power mat a couple of nights ago, which is the same kind of idea, but this, you know, charges any gadget, basically, rather than one specific gadget. So I think that, you know, that could well be the future of charging gadgets. Palm have really bad luck. I mean, the threaded message thing that everyone goes crazy about on the iPhone, Palm did that years ago with the Trio.
I'm just going to point out, you did used to work for Palm, didn't you?
Yeah, you did PR for Palm.
So before we get hordes of comments saying, you know, that we'll qualify it there.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But they have been quite unlucky in that they do have these, as you say, these cool features, but they never seem to be able to translate that to a message for their audience.
Well, I suppose we're just going to have to wait and see, and maybe wait until it comes to Britain, whenever that might be. At the moment, it's just a CDMA phone, so even if you bought one when it comes out, you can't use it in Europe anyway. So you know, fingers crossed that something will come out that we can get our teeth into. But tell us, what do you think? Do you think Palm's on the way back, or do you think it's dead and ready to drop? Leave a comment at the technology blog. That's guardian.co.uk/technology. Okay, so it's nearly over from CES. We'll be coming at you in Tech Weekly next week with some more stuff to wrap things up. But I just wanted to ask you guys, you know, what who do you think's been the big winner here? I mean, everyone comes. Some years, you know, last year Sony did pretty well because Blu-ray knocked HD DVD out of the water. You know, other years LG's done pretty well some years. I mean, who do you think's won out this time around?
I don't think there's been a big company that has clearly stood head and shoulders above the rest. I just haven't seen it this year. I mean, what I do think is interesting is that Yahoo's made such a big impression with this widget stuff because, you know, they have had a really bad year, and yet they're being talked about all over the place as you walk around CES. So I think this might be the year of slightly smaller, more unexpected stuff coming out.
How about you, Dan? What's your who's your pick of the pops?
Well, I mean, I'd agree that Yahoo were the standout people to begin with, because they were mentioned at all the press conferences with everybody. Let's network the world, and they were ahead of that. But actually, the one that's hit me is a little product that's basically like an iPod called it's called Move It, from a company called Genie, spelt in the kind of wee way, G-E-N-E-E, and it's a PMP, but it runs Android. And that already, I mean, from the first day of the floor being open, already they've got a sheet with quotes from Engadget, Gizmodo, Slash Gear, everybody, just a lot, saying how fantastic this thing is. And they're ready with it. And they haven't even got one on display. You have to have a private meeting with them. And they're cute. I think they were with Fox at the time when I was with them, so I thought I'd be well down the list. But yeah, hopefully I get a look at that tomorrow and see if it really is as good as they say.
Well, let's wait and see. I think I was trying to think who I reckon are the big winners. And you know what? I think I agree with you, Susie. It's kind of really much of a muchness. I mean, Yahoo has kind of done all right in being mentioned a lot, but I just can't. I'm not feeling the love. For TV widgets, but I don't know. I think there's, you know, everyone's, you know, there are a bazillion TVs. Everyone's kind of got bored of the big TV thing. So I think that's kind of knocked a lot of companies back. Yeah. Have we seen the biggest TV this
year?
Where
is the biggest TV?
Nobody's broken a record, have they?
What is CES if you don't get to stand next to a TV and pretend you're like some kind of really short person with this enormous television next to you? But there's no drama. Where's the drama this year?
Well, I suppose the drama is the economy, isn't it?
It's whether whether these
companies will be here next year or whether
that'll be interesting.
Bit in the dust. So yeah, I've got a feeling next year is going to be a lot quieter. That's pretty much it. You can let us what you know about CES by leaving your comments, emailing us at tech@guardian.co.uk. You can ping us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Skype, on all of those things. There's a million ways to get in contact with us, but you can find out how to do it at guardian.co.uk/techweekly. So tune in next week to hear from Alex and the rest of the crew. All that's left for me to say is thank you to my guests, Susie and Dan. Very nice to have you with me. And to our producer back in London, Scott Corley, who's been getting up at silly hours of the morning to put this together. And, of course, I'm going to say a word for Elliot Smith, who's our multimedia producer, who's somewhere out there as well. He hasn't had a mention so far, so I'm going to say that. In the meantime, I'm Bobby Johnson, and thank you for listening.